David Brinkley is off tonight. I'm Chet Huntley, NBC News. The first congressional investigation into the alleged massacre at My Lai in March 1968 was made public today. The report was made by a House Armed Services subcommittee made up of four men, generally known as Hawks. But the two main conclusions of the report were these. American troops did deliberately kill an undetermined number of South Vietnamese civilians on that day. And State Department officers and Army men thereafter did try to cover up the reported killings.
There were many who assumed the report would be a whitewash, but it appears not to be. The subcommittee says flatly that a large number of unarmed Vietnamese civilians were killed at My Lai. It blames officers of the AmeriCal Division and civilian advisors for covering up the incident. And it accuses the U.S. Army of impeding and delaying the work of the investigators. It's the first published report of what happened, in which the participants testified under cross-examination. The report chronicles the events of an Army unit it describes as suffering from the psychological effects of war. Charlie Company, on the morning of March 16, 1968, was bivouacked north of My Lai 4, with 25% of the men already casualties at the hands of an unseen enemy. An area west of the hamlet was hit by artillery before the company moved in by helicopter. Some of the shells were short, falling on My Lai itself, killing an undetermined number of civilians. When the company landed, it was immediately ordered into the hamlet. It was ordered to raise the hamlet. The men were told to burn the buildings, destroy all food, kill livestock, and seal the water wells. And they also killed a large number of civilians. How many is not clear. The company commander, Captain Ernest Medina, himself spotted not more than 28 dead. He says there was no massacre. Lieutenant William Kelly, a platoon leader, is being court-martialed for allegedly murdering more than 100 villagers. Some South Vietnamese officials claim as many as 500 persons were killed. The committee report recommends changes in military law and making civilians subject to trial for crimes they may have committed while in uniform. In a concluding statement, the panel says, what happened at My Lai was wrong. In fact, the report goes on, it was so wrong and so foreign to the normal character and actions of our military forces as to raise the question as to the legal sanity at the time of those men involved. Robert Goralski, NBC News in Washington.
Tomorrow, a three-judge federal court in Atlanta will be asked to stop the Army from prosecuting Sergeant Ezequiel Torres of killing South Vietnamese civilians at My Lai. The defense is challenging the legality of the Vietnam War. United States Air Force planes have flown 500 South Vietnamese prisoners out of the jail on Con Son Island to another near Saigon. They finished their terms and will be released. The Americans flew them out, they said, because the South Vietnamese are busy in Cambodia. Reports of conditions on Con Son aroused such a furor that the South Vietnamese government reluctantly decided to inspect the prison itself. In Cambodia, American-trained mercenaries began an attack on Kirirom, west of the capital of Phnom Penh. North of the capital, heavy fighting continued around Kompong Thom.
More than 500 Cambodian soldiers were airlifted from Phnom Penh north to Kompong Thom by a fleet of Vietnamese helicopters. The troops were all new. They had never seen battle before, and now they were going to an area where the communist forces were the masters. The communists had held the area around Kompong Thom for weeks, and there had been heavy fighting between Cambodian forces and the North Vietnamese and Viet Cong. And these young soldiers were now being flown to the front. One of the soldiers told me in broken English that this is the first time he had ever been in a helicopter. The Cambodian army has only two helicopters. One is apparently not operational. So the Cambodian army is extremely dependent on the Vietnamese for transportation. The Vietnamese say they'll give all the helicopter support they can. This airlift utilized 25 of them, almost half the number of choppers available in the Delta. They said they could only supply the Cambodians helicopters when there's nothing happening in Vietnam. The Cambodian High Command hopes there'll be many more airlifts like this one. They're counting on the mobility of the Vietnamese Air Force helicopters to carry their troops to sparsely populated sections in the north, where communists are reported to be camped. They hope they can do this instead of waiting for the communists to move down to the more populated areas near Phnom Penh. Lou Davis, NBC News, Kompong Thom, Cambodia.
Yesterday, there was a report from New Delhi that Soviet Deputy Foreign Minister Nikolai Firubin had given Indian diplomats a new formula which might lead to peace in Southeast Asia. It consisted mainly of renewing a call for a new Geneva conference to end the war in Indochina. For more on that, here is contributing editor John Chancellor.
The State Department says nothing of any substance has come in to confirm these reports, and there is a tendency to be cautious. The Secretary of State believes that the Cambodian operation may have strengthened China's hardline influence in Hanoi, and other officials are wondering if this is not part of the game the Russians play with the Chinese. However, the Russians brought up a peace formula just recently, in April at the United Nations, before the Americans went into Cambodia. The Russians doing this talking in both instances are deputy foreign ministers, and Soviet deputy foreign ministers are not loose talkers. So tonight, especially at the White House, American officials are listening carefully for any confirming word.
The Huntley-Brinkley Report is produced by NBC News and brought to you in color.
This is Jell-O 1-2-3 with three layers, topping, chiffon, and gelatin.
You gotta eat one at a time. That's the rule.
You dug down to the raspberry sauce before you finished the foam.
Which is your best?
The jelly jammy.
The what?
The jelly jammy.
Mine's the sauce.
Hey, Mom, can we have some more?
Yeah, she wants to eat it from the bottom up this time.
Jell-O 1-2-3 with three layers, foam, sauce, and jelly jammy.
President Nixon was in Cincinnati tonight attending the All-Star Game. He went there from Louisville, where he conferred with governors of the 13 Appalachian states. The Republican Party of Kentucky made a big effort to get out a crowd for the president's visit to Louisville, and they were successful.
Basically, it was another of those days for bringing government closer to the people. These were Nixon people. They like him in Kentucky. They voted for him in 1960 and 1968. He won the state both times by substantial margins. The president led a motorcade from the airport to downtown Louisville. And there were more Nixon people along the way, encouraged to show up by the state Republican Party, which had distributed 500,000 maps of the motorcade route. Outside the federal building where the meeting with the governors was to take place, Mr. Nixon sounded much the way he did last winter on a similar trip to Indianapolis. He said the fact that a president and members of his cabinet were meeting with governors was not unusual.
What is unusual is to have Washington come to Kentucky rather than Kentucky coming to Washington. We're trying to bring the government to the people. We're looking forward to having now a meeting here in this great new federal building with the governors of these states, and we want to listen to what they have to say. Listen to what they say about the problems of their states, how the federal government can better develop its programs so that they can get directly to the people, and that so that less of the funds that are appropriated by the federal government get lost somewhere in between in that big layer of bureaucracy which inevitably comes whenever you set up a federal program.
The president carried the theme into the meeting itself. He told the governors that sometimes being at the highest level in Washington is like it must have been in an isolation booth in the old television quiz shows, where the man inside couldn't hear what was going on outside. Then Mr. Nixon and his aides asked support for administration domestic proposals, particularly plans to share some federal tax revenues with the states and reform of the welfare system.
Revenue sharing is still a long way off, perhaps a few years, but welfare reform is something the president wants now. He calls it the most important piece of domestic legislation in two decades, and he wants the governors to help him get it through. Herbert Kaplow, NBC News, with the president in Louisville.
The Labor Department reported today that unemployment climbed sharply in the last 12 months. The jobless rate went from 3.4% to 4.7%. That rise represents a 38% increase in the number of people out of work. Among workers in big city poverty areas, unemployment remains highest among blacks. But the ratio of blacks out of work to whites out of work now is 3-2 rather than 2-1. The Senate voted today to set up a $1 billion five-year program to teach birth control to poor people and to supply contraceptives to anyone who wants them. The bill, which passed unanimously, also creates a new Office of Population Affairs to handle research and family planning.
If you could put Territon's charcoal filter on the end of your cigarette, you could put Territon's charcoal filter on your cigarette, well, anyway, if you could put Territon's charcoal filter on your cigarette, you'd have a better tasting cigarette. Of course, we can't guarantee it'd smoke as smooth as a Territon. To begin with, no other cigarette has Territon tobacco. And when that tobacco is smoothed by Territon's activated charcoal filter, it tastes even milder. Better face it, if you want your cigarette to smoke as smooth as a Territon, it'll just have to be a Territon with the activated charcoal filter. That's why us Territon smokers would rather fight than switch.
A House and Senate Conference Committee today agreed on a compromise anti-crime bill for the District of Columbia. It provides for pre-trial jailing without bond of criminal suspects believed to be dangerous, and it would allow police with special warrants to burst into homes without knocking. Attorney General Mitchell today held his first news conference in a year. He said individual states must comply with the new voting rights bill by August 3rd. He said wiretapping had increased by 100% in a year. And he said students who shut down campuses should be made to make up lost class time.
The Attorney General announced the first test of the vote for 18-year-olds. The states have till August 3rd to say whether they will comply, after which they would face suit. On young people and dissent, the Attorney General's new conciliatory tone was evident. Yesterday, FBI Director Hoover warned that students plan to close down campuses in October for political campaigning, but Mitchell saw nothing ominous in that.
Well, it shouldn't generate any potential for trouble. I think that the students, like everybody else, ought to be interested in the political process in order to, and should engage in it at every possible opportunity. I can't imagine anybody quarreling with that. We feel that the posture of the federal government with relationship to the campus should be one of which we are now involved and not one of policemen or law enforcement. If the campuses as such look upon what we are doing here in the federal government in the law enforcement area as being repressive, it's because they have not been getting the message, and this is what we're trying to get through to them.
Despite some disavowals, Mitchell does seem to have undergone a change of heart as well as vocabulary. Friends cite three reasons. Correspondence with Father Theodore Hesburgh of Notre Dame, head of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, a May 9th visit with moderate Fordham law students, which left the Attorney General shaken to find the young people thought of him as a threat to democracy, and pressure from Mrs. Mitchell, who has been talking to young people and has been turned on by the sincerity of some of them. The Attorney General believes he is for freedom and dissent and wants more than ever for people to believe him. Carl Stern, NBC News, Washington.
Mrs. Martha Mitchell, the wife of the Attorney General, was given FBI protection on the orders of President Nixon, Look magazine reported today. The article also reported these things. She is furious at reports that she owns 100 pairs of high-heeled shoes. She hates the war and once was ready to march against it. And she thinks the United States ought to rid itself of all foreign involvements except trade. A year ago, Fayette, Mississippi got a black mayor and an all-black city council. Charles Evers won control of the town by getting enough black voters registered and by promising to do more for all the people than did the whites who had been in office.
There have been a lot of changes in the years since Charles Evers became mayor of Fayette. Among Negroes, who make up two-thirds of the town's 1,700 people, it's a change of spirit mostly. A majority finally aware that it is a majority and that the town has become a celebrity along with its mayor. It's well he is a celebrity. When Evers took office, the city was broke. So, on a nationwide telecast, he asked for money and he got it, $100,000 in 2 weeks. The contributions still pour in from foundations, from churches, from schools, and from individuals. It is probably the only city in the country that has a budget based on donations. But as Evers sees it, it has to be.
We're going to have, continue to ask our friend, like Sammy Davis, going to do a benefit for us. Miss Leontine Price did one for us. Other people across the country have making donations. And most important, the little people who send $1.50. I just think that there are enough people in this country, if I keep producing and not, they find I'm not putting the money in my pocket, some bank somewhere in Switzerland, that I'm using it for the welfare of people, I just believe there are enough people in this country will give me as long as we need it.
But a city can't run on donations.
Yes, we can. We're running on it. That's for sure. We run a whole year on it. Had it not been for donations, we wouldn't be able to operate.
Evers has been an unorthodox mayor in many ways. The street paving, for example. He didn't advertise for bids or seek out bonded contractors for the work. He hired amateurs because he claims it costs only half as much this way. Some critics say this is contrary to state law, but Mississippi hasn't done anything about it. A year ago, he said he would bring 500 new jobs to Fayette. He's well on the way. An electronics plant has been built and should be in production next week, employing 150. Many of those workers are being trained at a new vocational school near the factory. Trained on the same machines they will use in the factory. Ground has been broken for still another plant that will provide 200 more jobs. All this industry was lured by Evers, but he did get two local white businessmen to develop the land for the factories. The two will make money, of course, but they have also made some enemies among fellow whites who resent their cooperation with Evers. The whites are wary. They look upon Evers as a black outsider who came to town to capitalize on its black majority and on the name of his murdered brother, Medgar, which appears all over Fayette. The county government is still white, but Evers says this too will change when the county elections come. That worries whites even more. They feel the black hand in the sign is no longer clasping, but squeezing.
I think our future looks pretty black in more ways than one. I think that gradually over the years that the white people will be moving out. Quite a few of them have already gone. I think that if it were a local black mayor, I don't think the things would be quite so bad. We make it all live together like we have been living together for these hundreds of years. But in a way, you talk about all the benefits that he is bringing in here. In a way, it's not as much of a dream as it's cracked up to be. I noticed that his theme a year ago for his inauguration was, let's all go forward together. But his theme this year is, you can't stop us now. And I think that pretty well tells what's going to happen around him.
There's much to be done, and for a while longer, it will continue to be done with outside help. But that can't last forever. Eventually, the mayor and the town will have to make it on their own. Yet in 1 year, they have made a good start. Fred Briggs, NBC News, reporting.
For all the stretching and steaming and soaking and creaming and fussing and sacrificing you go through to make yourself beautiful, do you ever worry about the real you? The you inside? The woman part of you that needs nearly twice as much iron every day as a man? That's medical fact, and we worry about it. That's why we make one-a-day vitamins plus iron. One-a-day plus iron. Because beauty begins inside you.
Mamma mia, that's some piece of
spicy meatballs, Jack.
Huh.
Cut.
When you eat too much spicy food, do you need Alka-Seltzer? Alka-Seltzer can help relieve the acid indigestion and help make you your old self again.
Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball.
Cut. Let's break for lunch.
The Huntley-Brinkley Report continues. Brought to you by Benjamin Moore Paints and your nearby Benjamin Moore paint dealer. The man to see for all your painting needs.
When it comes to painting from Hawaii to Maine, quality control is the name of the game. And no wonder working paints that really do Dorothy and more. Look for the friendly side, Benjamin Moore. The best friend your home ever had.
See your nearby Benjamin Moore dealer for all your painting needs.
Diplomatic sources in London said today that the Russians are having tough talks with President Nasser of Egypt and are working out a new plan for a Mideast settlement. And when it's worked out, it will be presented to the big four powers. North Ireland's Prime Minister James Chichester Clark today thanked British troops, his own country's security forces, and the people for keeping the peace during Monday's Orange Day celebrations by the Protestants.
The marchers were celebrating the Protestant victory over the Catholics at the Battle of the Boyne in 1690. Estimates put the Orange Lodge marchers at more than 100,000, more than 30,000 of them here in Belfast, and the rest in 17 other towns throughout Northern Ireland. To some onlookers, certain aspects of the parade were faintly ridiculous. An 18,000-man security force, including police and 11,000 British troops, was on hand to keep order following the recent bloody riots in Belfast and Londonderry. The security men were concentrated at flashpoints like Belfast's Roman Catholic Unity Flats public housing project. The Catholics of Unity Flats were understandably cool toward the parade of strength by Northern Ireland's orange Protestant majority. Neighboring Protestant streets, barricaded off by the army, were deserted because most people had gone to watch the parade. But British soldiers were busy frisking Catholics entering the area. One gun, fired, could have brought a big blow-up of rioting and shooting. None of this means that Northern Ireland is necessarily marching toward a period of peace. The only predictable thing about the Northern Irish is that they will go on marching. George Montgomery, NBC News, Belfast.
Jim!
Mike, what are you cleaning your dentures with?
They look nice.
Look, we've known each other about 30 years, right?
So?
Denture breath. What do you use?
Well, I used to use Politan powder, but...
Mike, go back to Politan powder.
Politan powder not only cleans, it helps prevent denture breath. With a combination of cleaners and fresheners, other cleansers still don't have.
Jim!
Just like the good old days.
Are you babying yourself because you wear dentures?
Boy, this weather sure works up an appetite. Thick sirloin.
I'll make mine rare.
Make mine. Better give me something soft, easy to chew, like scrambled eggs.
Charlie, stop babying yourself because you wear dentures. Change your denture adhesive to Polygrip. Polygrip holds like no other cream or powder. No gaps, no letting go. Stop babying yourself. Change to Polygrip. Eat like a man.
Interior Secretary Hickel said today that the federal government will take action to control mercury pollution of waterways if the states don't do it themselves. He cited 17 states where mercury pollution has been found. Government pollution experts said today that the 1970 model cars have not met certified levels of exhaust pollution, and they blamed government testing procedures. It said tough new tests won't be ready until 1972. Prices were mixed on the stock market today. On the New York Exchange, the Dow Jones Industrials gained less than a point, and the value of an average share dropped 4 cents. The price of an average share on the American Exchange also fell 4 cents. On his long journey up from the primordial slime, man learned that every now and then it is a good thing to get away from it all. And so he devised, among other things, camping. But no one can be sure that he did get away from it all at all.
Count
in the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike. They've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. All come to look for America.
Henry David Thoreau wrote, "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life." Well, what is essential? Those who go to the woods today feel a folding aluminum chair is essential. You never know when you may have to sit down. A portable radio is essential, and portable is only a state of mind. The park won't let you cut trees, so a box of logs is virtually essential. Ask a girl why she brings hair curlers, and she says, well, there are boys in the woods. Today, there are more essential facts of life than Thoreau could have conceived. Camping in America has become a very big and a very complicated business. Millions of Americans each year try to get away from it all by taking it with them.
This is just a little container we put on the table. It has peanut butter, jelly, mustard, ketchup, oil.
This isn't really what you'd call roughing it, is it?
Well, not really, no.
Why do you come out camping?
Well, I guess just to get away from the hustle and bustle of the city.
Peace and quiet.
Away from the city traffic.
Beautiful scenery, nice, quiet, restful.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. You paid paradise, put up a parking lot. I said, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Up a parking lot.
Good night for NBC News.